Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter. I am a broker in the commodity markets here at Stone X. I focus primarily on the grain and oil seed markets, but also do a lot in energy and livestock. I work with producers and consumers, hedgers and speculators, and we do a lot in futures and options markets, OTC and structured products. And also in the cash consulting business for our corporate end user clients and producing corporations. If you have any questions about what I do here, or if you hear anything that you want to go over, please let me know. If you're a client and hear an idea that you like, you can give me a call, 312-706-7610. If you're not a client to be interested in working with us, you can give me a call. You can also reach me by email, craig.turner@stonex.com. If you like the podcast, please come over to iTunes and give us a positive review, and also send it along to anyone you think might be interested. And if you want to check out the newsletter, Turner's Take, you can go to turnerstake.com and take a look at it there. Let's get into it. We have the WASD report today. It is the December WASD can be a big report for global stocks and some wheat updates. It's usually light on corn and soybean numbers, and it was the same today. It was one of the lighter reports. It'll set the tone a little bit between now and January, but that January WASD combined with, let's say, South American weather and export reports are really still going to be the determining factor for prices for the next 30 to 60 days. But it's still important to go through this one and talk about where we think things are going from here. So number one, let's start with wheat. That was probably the headline. That was market was looking for a little bit of a bearish report. We got a little bit of a bearish report. We did see wheat exports come down 20 million bushels, split between looked like the spring wheat and the hard red winter wheat. So the higher protein, but we did have a change in the import side. So I think ending stocks only came up about 15 million bushels for all wheat. And really, it was spring wheat, and Minneapolis and Kansas City were probably the ones that came down in exports, which increased the ending stocks a little bit. Still doesn't change the fact that we're tight, and it still doesn't change the fact that if spring wheat should dip below $10 in old crop and well into the sevens in hard red winter wheat, I think we're going to see the consumers come in and buy. There is value in the old crop just based on what people are doing in the that space on the commercial side. So I do think we will see support there. Now, you can make the argument for new crop prices, on the rallies, you'd be selling them because we're going to see a lot of wheat acres. I get that. In the near term, though, I think wheat deserve to come down a little bit here today. I wouldn't be surprised if the breaks are more shallow and we did see some buying, especially as we go forward. Australian production did go up. However, the USDA did note on the quality, and the quality was lower. So that'd be more of a feed competition, on that side, and not so much in the high protein wheat, which is what the price rationing is trying to do here. I mean, I think what the USDA also, reminded everyone again is the United States is the residual supplier of wheat, meaning that the United States probably is the highest cost provider of wheat when you just look at labor and land, right? So, what's going to happen here is when prices get this high, if you can find wheat elsewhere, you'll go for it. We do produce wheat a lot in a lot of different places of the world, though globally we are tight. And quite honestly, the production we see in South America and Australia is smaller compared to what we see in production in the Northern Hemisphere for spring and winter wheat. So while some production will come on in the next couple of months, we'll still be tight most likely until the next cycle. So that's why I kind of think in the old crop, we will see, we we should be supported on any kind of steep break. Those the breaks really should be shallow, most likely, just because the consumers will come in and buy it. So that was the big takeaway here on the wheat market. If I'm a speculator, or you know, for some for the consumers that we work with, you know, I'd be looking at buying the breaks. For the farmers that we work with, any kind of big rallies we get here over the next couple of months probably are going to be just a reminder that probably be a selling opportunity. These prices are going to bring out wheat acres. The margins are very good on wheat. And you take a look at the input costs, especially the higher input costs for some of the grain markets out there, the lower input costs for wheat. It's a little bit easier to grow wheat in a lot of regions of the world compared to some of these other crops. And you look at the margins in terms of profitability per acre, you can make the case for more higher protein acres next year. So just something to keep in mind. Bullish, I think even with the WASDE being a little bit bearish, wheat, it still have tight stocks in the United States and the world, and reminds everyone that can't go down too far, needs to stay up here. As far as corn, I thought that was very neutral. We did not, the United States or the USDA did not make any changes to the US corn numbers or South American production in Brazil and Argentina. Ending stocks were up a tad. It really wasn't a big deal either way. We are just going to go right back to trading South American weather and US exports and any kind, and I guess long-term, any kind of acreage or fertilizer discussions that we may have. But I felt that was more neutral corn, and quite honestly, we could talk about this a little bit after the WASDE review, but I probably a little bit bullish corn here if we have any weather issues. But and also demand still continues to be good. And the USDA did not change anything on the ethanol side, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. As far as soybeans goes, I thought that was a little bit bullish. Not crazy bullish, but a little bit bullish. You know, they held soybean ending stocks at 340 million. And exports were about just over 2 billion. A lot of us thought that those ending stocks would go higher because the exports were going to come down. They didn't. I still think the USDA has to account for that. So I wouldn't be surprised in the January report if soybeans were a little bit bearish. But they did also note, the USDA did also note that soybean oil demand will continue. They cited the biodiesel. Or the biofuel mandates from the EPA. They kept soybean oil production for biofuel at, I think it was like 11 billion pounds, and which was constant. They commented on, we'll see higher crush rate. So that'll probably be good, you know, for the oil to meet the demand that we're going to, basically all the canola that we lost out of Canada, you know, there has to be a makeup for that in vegetable oil. Now most likely come with greater crush for soybean oil. It is going to put a damper on the meal prices. So maybe meal stays in the low to mid 300s. Hard to see it to go higher if we're going to be crushing a lot for soybean oil. But they have the USDA average an average cash soybean oil price of about 65 cents. Now keep in mind that's a cash price, and right now the cash prices are at a premium to the futures. But it does mean that I would say anything under, based on what the USDA said today, really anything under the mid 50s, let's just call it 55, it's probably going to be viewed as a bargain. And I wouldn't be surprised if you take a look at the trend lines and support and resistance, that 54, 55 area is going to be some pretty tight support. And then, 62 to 65 will be some real resistance. In soybean oil too, but we will stay elevated. And this is a market that traded in the 20s and 30s for years. So is this going to be temporary, or is this part of a longer term change in the oil market because the biofuels? We'll have to see, but that was my takeaway there. So again, a little bit bearish wheat, neutral corn, a little bit bullish soybeans, and the USDA did not make any changes to South American production. So going forward here, I think this is what we're going to be looking at. One, corn has the potential to rally. Corn has if we start getting one, the USDA is going to probably have to increase the ethanol usage. We've seen very good exports lately. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a little bit of export And you never know what the USDA is going to say about production and what they'll do with that. But for corn has some potential maybe to, if we can close over 590 in March, which has been resistance, maybe 620 is in the cards. It's hard to see us go over 620 without some real resistance with real weather issues in South America. On the downside, let's say exports start to slow down and ethanol demand starts to slow down. Maybe something happens with energy and gas prices. Hard to see corn go much below 540 or 550 in the time being, right? Until we get through South America. So South America, the next 30 to 60 days is going to be critical for the grain markets on production. We are experiencing La Nina. In La Nina years, Argentina and southern Brazil have the drier and hot conditions. The rest of South America, particularly Brazil, the rest of Brazil usually has very favorable conditions. And what happens is the stronger the La Nina year, the more the losses are greater in southern Brazil and Argentina compared to where the production is made up for the rest of South America, particularly through the rest of Brazil. So we'll see what happens in the next 3 to 6 months. I'm sorry, 30 to 60 days. It is getting hotter and drier in Argentina and southern Brazil. The trade will start to pay much more attention to that. They've been paying attention to it, but not, we'll be really have a magnifying glass on it. And if we do have a further developing weather market, that's how corn could probably go up to 620, and beyond there, we'd have to have some real issues. But the wheat market won't have too much of an impact on. And for soybeans, soybeans, is really more of a Brazilian crop. And I think corn is more sensitive to Argentina. And that's and so it'd probably be more bullish for corn. Soybeans probably trade in this 12 to 13.50 range, maybe even tighter, like 12 and a half to 13 and a quarter, something like that, until we can know more about the soybeans. I do think $12 is going to be support for beans here. It's hard to see it go through 13.25 or 13.50 without just some serious either demand coming back our way, which demand for soybeans is good, but it's not great. It's a little bit below pace. It's not terribly below pace. It's not like tariff, years below pace or, when we had swine fever in China, but it is below pace and they're going to have to adjust it down a little bit. So, maybe soybean stocks, instead of being 340 or in the high 300s or low 400s. And again, that's still $11 soybeans eventually, but not, it won't go, I doubt it breaks below 12 while we still have weather markets to deal with in South America. So that's where I think we'll be on that. And then for the wheat market, I said earlier, old crop's going to be supportive. I can see the reason for selling new crop on the rally just because we will see acres come in. And not in the, and I've said this many times before, but when it comes to the global export market, you always got to remember we're producing wheat for export in all four regions of the world, right? So every 2 to 3 months, we will be having some kind of spring or winter wheat coming out from either North America, United States and Canada for export. In Europe, it's Russia and Ukraine and the Soviet Union and in Europe, EU. In the southern hemisphere, in the western side, you've got Argentina, which will produce for export, and on the eastern side of the southern hemisphere is Australia. So there, which is different than, let's say, soybeans, where you really just got on the export market, the United States, and then 6 months later, it's Brazil, and then, in Argentina, and then we, 6 months later after that, it's got to be the United States again. And if you have any major issues, you're up the creek for 6 months in the global export market. Corn tends to be in the middle of that. It's really more of a US, Argentina, Brazil, Ukraine type market, in corn, with US being the bigger producer. So if the US is tight in corn, I think, and the global stocks get tighter in corn, there's probably more bullish room for corn right now over, let's say, soybeans and maybe even wheat. But I think that's how we go for the next 30 to 60 days. So let's keep an eye on the exports. Let's keep an eye on South American weather. And then the next big report will not be until January, the second week in January. And we'll talk more about that as we go. So I think for right now, I think corn will get supported. kind of like corn on the brakes, like bean oil on the brakes, kind of neutral on soybeans. Maybe we take a look into selling some straddles or strangles. Might be an interesting play. And the wheat, I can be supported for old crop, not so much for new crop. And, you know, we are working a lot more with our Canadian friends and farmers up there as clients now. For canola, I would actually view canola kind of the same as I do, you know, soybeans and soybean oil. You know, it's neutral for the time being. Because when it's hard for canola. Canola is now priced at a point where we are price rationing, you know, the old crop. And then it's just really about like, what can, you know, can we get the acres? Will we get the moisture, you know, to plant canola? And the market's going to have to keep canola prices at a high level for at least between now and next year and the next harvest. So probably stay elevated for that too. So anyways, if you have any questions about that, let me know. Thanks for everyone for listening. If you're a client and you want to do any of these ideas, give me a call. Again, my number is 312-706-7610. Anyone can email me at craig.turner. That's craig.turner@stonex.com. All right, have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.